Colleagues, we're looking forward to your presentation. I'll first ask Mr. Appiah just to introduce his delegation. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. I have with me Mr. Willem Basson, who is the Director of Strategic Planning, who will present the performance information. And on the left-hand side, it's the CFO, Mr. Tumelo Nkonjwana, who will deal with the financial information. And we are also supported by Mr. Mahote, who is our parliamentary liaison officer, and Mr. Cooper. Oh, he has left, but he was here from the office of the minister. Thank you.
Much I'll ask the honourable members to introduce themselves. We'll start with the lady from the red.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Findile Mola, a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Ndolivu wano kwamba ndivo mabijali vuhani, member of our hei committee yozula usen. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable member.
Leonard Ramatakan is my name. Leonard Ramatakan, a member of this committee, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to the Secretary and his team. I'm Sakele Mbele, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, members. We can start immediately. Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you very much. I'll just give an overview, and my colleagues will deal with the content of the presentation. I think if members recall well, one of the issues that we had to deal with was the findings of the Auditor General, which because we received a qualified report in the prior year, and making sure that the issues that have been raised, we dealt with them, and we have reported when we dealt with the BRRR report. The strategy that we're dealing with. So we continue to deal with that, and I can indicate that the majority of the recommendations that came up, we implemented those. The filling of critical posts, the critical posts were filled. And I'm happy to announce that the top structure of the department, it's having a full complement, with the last person who came in, the Chief Director, Intersectoral Coordination and Strategic Partner, who was appointed at the end of the fourth quarter. At the end of the fourth quarter, the secretariat had filled 119 posts of 151 vacant posts. And as we reported previously, that these posts, additional posts, were approved by the minister around October. And when it was representing a vacancy rate of 21.19% for the organization. And I must say, at this moment, we have managed to fill a number of these positions. As at today, we are standing at 8% vacancy rate. We only have 12 vacancies that are left. But this comes with serious pressure on our side because of the accommodation. We now have too many people occupying a small space. It's having an impact in terms of even our ablution facilities. We are having serious problems, but we are dealing with that with the Department of Public Works, who have identified a building that we believe that in this financial year we will be able to move. Out of the 119 employees that we have, 62 are females, and 57 males, that is at the end of the financial year, which represent 52% females and 14.9% males. hand over to Mr. Basson to take us through the program performance.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. I'll start with the depart top.
Yeah, maybe at this stage, not that we want to limit the presentation, but the focus is really on the financials. So I think let's take note of the performance information, but let's go straight to the financials. I think the members have received the presentation, and if there's questions, they can ask. But let's go really to the core business of the day. Thank you. Microphone there. Thank you, sir. CFO, just your microphone. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members, colleagues. I'll be presenting the finances requested. I think without any further ado, I'd like to share with the House that as the department, I'll start with the third quarter and then I'll then do the fourth quarter. During the third quarter, as the department, we had spent about 63% of the budget, which is about 69.6 million of the 110.5 million. Looking at the different programs at that stage during the third quarter, you realize that program one, which is administration at that time, it has spent about 68.9%. Then the intersectoral coordination and strategic partnership, 71.2%. And between legislation and policy, as well as civilian oversight, monitoring, and evaluation, they've just spent more than 50% of their budget during the third quarter. Moving over to same quarter, but now in terms of economic classifications. Compensation of employees, as at the end of the third quarter, we had a budget of 79.4 million, of which at the end of the third quarter, we have spent about 48.6 million, and therefore there was a balance of 30.8 million, which is almost about 31 million, meaning that we had spent 61% of the amount. Coming to goods and services, which had a budget of 29.3 million, at the end of the third quarter, we had spent about 19.8 million. Therefore, there was a remaining budget of about 9.4 million. At that stage, the percentage expenditure was 67.9, which is almost 68%. Then coming to transfers and subsidies, we had a budget of about 315,000, of which 310 was spent, which was an equivalent of 98.4%. Payments for capital assets, we had a budget of about 1.5 million, of which 794 million has been spent, which is an equivalent of about 52%. So that was the result as at the end of the third quarter. Now, the next graphs show our cash flow as we receive it from Treasury against our expenditure. You realize that in almost all the months of the third quarter, except only in November, we have been receiving more funds but spending less than what we should have spent. But I can maybe already say at this stage that one of the major problems that we had planned these cash flows with the intention that we would have actually filled some of the vacant posts, which at this stage had not yet been filled at all. And it was only in November when the expenditure actually escalated to more than, which was covered by all the under savings that were done during the previous month. The slide is almost an explanation of what I've said. We are saying that as a department, we had, as at the end of the third quarter, we had spent 63%. Though our intention, the way we had planned, based on our cash flow, we thought we would have spent 74.1% at that stage, which talks to an underspending as per our projection of 11.1% as at the end of the third quarter. So one of the major issues, as I've indicated, the major issue for our underspending of the department is issues relating to compensation of employees, whereby the vacant posts which were not paid, where the posts had not been filled and therefore there was no payment made. And because of lack of sufficient staff, some of the programs could not deliver as expected. And again, there was also some outstanding pay progressions to the staff for for the ESTE, the performance of the previous financial year, which is also something that is legislated. But as the department, we are always cautious on making sure that we are not going to exceed our goods and services budget. Going to the next slide, which talks to quarter four, we are seeing that as a department, as at the end of quarter four, that is at the end of the financial year, which is the 31st of March, as a department, our expenditure stood at 94.7%, meaning that of the budget of 110.5 million, we had spent 104.7 million, with all the programs spending just more than 93% of their budget. So that is how the expenditure was trending per program as at. Now going to good and going to economic classification, which is the next slide. Here, the economic classification indicates to us that as a department, we had a final budget of about almost 79 million, of which as at the 31st of March, we have spent about 66 million, meaning that within compensation of employees, there was an underspending of about 12.8 million, which has just indicated that this was as a result of those posts which were approved late in the financial year, and therefore as a department, we couldn't spend that money. That is why we saw that vacancy of about 21%. So this amount relates to the vacancy of 21% of the posts that we couldn't fill. In terms of goods and services, we have spent almost about 99% of the funds that were available. And going to transfers and subsidies, during our final budget, we had increased that budget to about 530, and this relates to the CETA that deals with safety and security. There was intention to pay some money to the CETA that is responsible for safety and security, but as a department, we have not yet finalized the registration of that kind of a CETA, and therefore that's why in terms of transfers, we end up standing at 58.7%. When it comes to issues pertaining to payments for capital assets, we had a budget of 1.5 million, and as at the end of the financial year, we have spent 859,000, which is about 56%. And then there's also payment for financial assets, which clearly indicates that there was initially no budget for it, but then we ended up paying 7.9 million. And this relates to the debt in terms of the legal fees which were paid on behalf of the former minister, and we have engaged with all the departments. We have engaged both staffs and APEC to see whether maybe there was any possibility that any of the departments could actually reimburse us this money. And on realization that no one was intending to pay us this amount, it was the reason therefore we then follow our policies and the National Treasury guidelines to say let us write off this, considering that there were some savings that we have made as the department. Moving on to the cash flow versus the actual expenditure, I think there we see that jump in the March expenditure. Actually, this again relates to the 7.9 million that we had to write off as a department. Because what actually happens is that as a department we had already incurred this expenditure, but then this expenditure was kept in a suspense account, and realizing that there were some savings in the department at the end of the financial year, then we took that opportunity then to expense those amounts that were lying in the suspense account. And that's why then we see this high escalation during the period of March. The next slide, talking to our performance as at the end of the quarter, it talks back to the whole issue of saying that we, as a department, we spent 94.7% of the budget, and which is an underspending of about 5.3% of the budget which the department was allocated. And the major contributing factor, as previously indicated, is the whole issue of failure to maybe fill those posts which were actually approved very late in the financial year. But we're also making a matter of the issue of the irrecoverable expenditure, which we're hoping that we're going to claim particularly with SAS, but he then directed us to IP, but IP was also not prepared to pay. And as a department, we had to actually expense that payment that was made, and therefore showing that kind of escalation. And we made every effort to make sure that the cost curtailment, as a department, we maintain it. And that is why maybe just the two of us are here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's go through the questions. Anything additional, Secretary? Yeah. Okay. The first couple of questions from my side. The one issue is that the Public Service Commission did performance against expenditure analysis, and they've indicated that if you look at that, the Civilian Secretariat is one of the non-performing departments. I just want to quote to that. The PSC stated that the decline in the performance of the CSP is noteworthy, as performance declined from 97.6 against expenditure of 71.9 in 2013 to 14 to a performance of 48.5 against 98.9 expenditure in 2015-16. If the Secretary can maybe just indicate what steps are being done to address that issue, and whether his current top management can assist in that way. Then the second issue is the broader question, or the broader issue. The Civilian Secretariat must contribute to a police service that that is trusted by the community. That is the overarching aim. Now, if I look at page 15 of the key achievements that deals with the performance, there's a list of things that was finalized and approved: the National Police Board, force policy, single police service, resource allocation, safety audits, panel of experts. As a committee, we haven't seen those documents, and it would be maybe good if it can maybe made available to us. But my question is about impact. If we say Civilian Secretariat must contribute to a police service that is trusted, all those aspects under key achievement must translate not only to policy but to implementation and impact on SAPS. And maybe the qualitative question I want to ask the Secretary is, that list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 issues, at this stage, what is the impact of those issues on SAPS? Because it can be like a research institution. You do a lot of documents. It's in file 13, or you put it there in the office. But in the end, does it impact on your main objective, and that is to influence the South African Police Service moving to a police service that is trusted by the community? Because in all those aspects that you list as key achievements, I don't see, let's say, the outcomes translated into action by SAPS. If you can just maybe comment on that. Honorable Mamula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. Will you please indicate how many of the 17 vacancies are in the financial management sub-program? My second question, please indicate the number of disciplinary steps taken or cases opened against non-compliant officials, especially within the financial management environment. My last question, do the senior managers conduct quarterly performance reviews? Will subordinate staff? Thank you.
Honorable Abidjan, you're fine. Honorable Maki.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just two questions. Clarification on the page 15, you were talking about progress report on the panel of experts. Just to explain to me, or what would that be? And the second question would be on the irrecoverable expenses. That would be, you said for the minister, I think that would be when the minister was going to court and so on. Does that include even the iPad amount that is still, or is this only the new one? Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Ramata Khan.
Chair, just a small one. Thank you very much for the presentation. The just one central question for me. The AG, the last report wasn't good, and then you came to us and you presented quite a lengthy turnaround plan. Just want to ask, Chair, when you look back at the turnaround plan, would you say that the gap that existed then, that you promised that you were going to close, including the capacity, would you say that 99% of the turnaround plan has been implemented? I just want some reassurance around some of those issues. Linked to that, if you could just indicate the staff turnover. What's your staff turnover in the current period? I know the previous year it was in the range of 10%. But if you could just indicate those two central questions, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bailey.
thanks, Chair. I think it's also just two questions from my side for this round. The first one is, although it wasn't covered in the oral presentation, it's in the written slides, the mention of the anti-crime campaign that was conducted in the third quarter. I can't remember if the committee got information in a previous engagement with the secretariat, but just to get some detail on what that anti-crime campaign entailed. I'm just curious to get a picture in my head as to what that that activity was about. And then, excuse me. And then, because it seems that the main contributing factor to the underspending is in compensation of employees not spending that full allocation. That has to do with the challenge of filling vacancies. My particular question is just to get a reminder again from the Secretariat as to the challenge it's facing in that regard. Is it an issue of not getting suitable candidates who apply for the vacancies, or is it more primarily a process issue where just the time frames for completing filling posts, so advertising and then interviews and that whole selection process means that by the end of the financial year, you aren't able to start spending the allocation for that aspect. Thanks, Chair.
I just got a couple of two additional ones. The one is the issue of compliance. Now, I think we struggle a bit in the sector. We struggle with IPET regarding the Section 9 reports to get them tabled. We struggle with SAPS getting the DVA reports tabled. Now, Section 6.2 of the Secretariat Act says, the Secretariat must make available recent, relevant, and evidence-based research to the Minister and to Parliament. Now, I presume Parliament includes the Portfolio Committee. Now, I've referred earlier to the page 15, the key achievements. Now, my question is there, for instance, in your legal division, somebody who sits with the Act and says, well, this is our duties towards Parliament. Tick it off and say, well, all the research reports must be made available to Parliament. Also, the issue of the DVA reports. I think the Civilian Secretariat is also behind with the tabling of those reports. So I want to know, where is the problem? Is it capacity? Is it legal compliance? Or can we just maybe get a clarification on that? Thank you, Secretary. That's the first round.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. The issue of the Public Service Commission in terms of steps being taken regarding underperformance. Many steps that we are taking in terms of making sure that we have got the requisite skills and making sure that all the vacant posts are filled. But one of the issues that we are doing, it's we have just finally, because we were using our internal staff to look into our structure and the business model that we are using. And at the end, we realized that the capacity that we have within our HR is not good enough, and we had to source in the Department of Public Service and Administration, who will be looking into our business model. Because that's an area that, and I think that question will link up with the question that the Honorable Chair has asked, the last question, that if you don't have a proper business model, then that's where you find that you are unable to process the issues and you can't monitor and ensure that your performance is happening. So that's the intervention that we are having. They started on the 6th, and on the 27th there's going to be a workshop that is going to deal with that, which will also look in terms of aligning what we do with the commitments that we have made in the white paper on policing. The next question that I want to deal with is the issue of provision of the documents that we have prepared. We can make those documents available to the portfolio committee. We will make that note and make sure that it comes through. The issue of measuring impact of what we are doing. We haven't started doing the measuring of impact, but at the HOD meetings, and it's an issue that is being raised also at provincial level, to say we need to have an assessment of an impact of what we are going to do. It's the project that has been identified by the HOD forum, which we will need to do, and then we will be able to say whatever we are doing is adding value to the police. But one of the things that I can say that there is an impact is our assessment in terms of the DPA implementation, because we can see the increment from when we started monitoring the DVA and some of the programs that have been put in place to address the challenges that we have identified. And we've got the report that deals with that stemming from 2012. But on other programs, I think it's an area that we'll need to make sure that we assess that impact. On the issue of the number of vacancies, the ones which are attributed to finance, the CFO will deal with that. Disciplinary steps for finance, we actually, before we came here, there was also some of the letters that the CFO on this current financial year, we just finished working with the auditors and we realized that there are certain people that didn't pull up weight, and there's letters that the CFO has just shared with me to say all those managers were sent letters to explain so that we can deal with disciplinary action. But I think it's an area that we can do better. We've identified that even our internal labor relations unit need to strengthen up. There was a case of somebody who was being insubordinate to one of the directors. But how we managed it, because we got people from outside to assist us, and we find that we were found working in terms of how we deal with it. So we are also beefing capacity of our internal labor relations unit, because that's a weakness. You can have managers who want to discipline, but if you don't have the support from the labor relations, it becomes a problem. So we are focusing on beefing up that capacity, and we have employed a deputy director who is dealing with that, who will be able to support managers. We do not conduct quarterly performance assessment, but in terms of our performance management system, we do 6-monthly performance assessments. And also in that, we need to make sure that we improve on. Maybe it's one thing that we'll need to introduce to make sure that there is also quarterly assessment. The only way that we deal with that assessment is when we prepare these reports to the portfolio committee, we come to EXCO and every one of those executive managers, they present their own performance, but not the individual quarterly performance. But I think it's an area that we can look into. The only thing that we said we will do with finance stemming from this end of the financial year was we will be doing monthly assessment, because we have realized that there are people who should be doing things on a monthly basis and they are not doing that. And based on that, we'll assess their weaknesses through the competency assessment and assist them. If they are unable to deliver what they are supposed to deliver, we will see whether we can place them in other areas or we part ways. That's an area that we have identified, and I think with the help of Business Against Crime that we realized that there is that weakness, which now the focus is going to be monthly, but it's not in the whole organization. the report on the panel of experts, we have the chief director responsible for policy and research sits with the panel of experts. So in terms of the work that the panel of experts is doing, she prepared a report in terms of what has happened in that process, so that we are proactively, we have to look in terms of what are the things that we need to do, which is coming from the panel of experts, instead of us waiting for the final report of the panel of experts. So that's the report that we're talking about. The issue of the irrecoverable expenses, the CFO has indicated that it's about the legal fees. It's actually the amount that we paid for the legal fees for the case against the executive director of IPID. It's an area that, as I speak now, we have expensed it and saying it's a loss. But there's still discussion with Treasury and the Auditor General to say the classification that we are doing, is it correct or not. Because we are not a vote, we can't have an unauthorized expenditure in terms of the laws. So it will be irregular. But we explained in terms of where we get the mandate, even can do that, because as the owners of the legislation, we are the ones that do legislation on behalf of the minister. And when anyone takes the minister to court and their challenge is based on the legislation that we have drafted, we have to defend that legislation. And the case of IPID was not a labor relations case. It was saying the law that you have applied is unconstitutional. So our responsibility in terms of advising the minister is to make sure that even the legal process it's followed. So there was an understanding from the Treasury that yes, you cannot say we didn't have the mandate to deal with this issue, but now we still have to finalize to say, are we treating this matter correct? So as the AG's report comes, that matter will be finally clarified. We don't want it to still hang in until next year, because we want to get a clean audit in the next financial year. Regarding the turnaround that we have presented, I think 80% of the things that...
Thank you.
Yeah, still on that question of yeah, it's an interesting point that you are the ones that come up with the legislation, and if it's challenged, you have got to defend it. Do you also deal with advising the minister in relation to that, or would that be a legal advisor in the ministry also? Meaning that you can say, no, we made a mistake in this legislation, we need to deal with it, we are going to lose, or something of that nature. Because as far as I can remember, you seem to have lost all of them. Is it the legal advisor in the ministry, or is it within your mandate to deal with that? Thank you.
Marky, Secretary?
Yes, the Secretary of Police, the legislation is very clear that the it's a strategic advisor to the minister, and in some of those cases we can do an analysis, and the minister can choose to okay, my legal advisor can deal with this matter. The only thing that in this case was requested was for us to assist in terms of the procurement of the legal services for the minister, and that's what was done. But in terms of legal advice, and usually once you appoint a senior counsel in a legal matter, that's when the senior counsel will be advising in terms of do we have a strong case or we don't have a strong case to deal with that. But we have the responsibility to advise the minister, especially in terms of the constitutional issue and the legal issues that he has to address.
The minister, for example, can ignore your advice and say, for instance, you say, don't go forward, you've got no chance, it's still his call as the executive authority to say, proceed.
Yeah, at the end of the day, yeah, it's the minister makes the final decision in terms of whether to go ahead or not. That's why it's an advice, it's not an instruction, yeah.
And then even if you advise, you are going to lose, the minister will make you pay. Is that how it goes?
Bijoy, follow up and then the secretary will respond. Thank you.
Understanding that you give advice to the ministry, do you also give advice on human resource issues?
Follow up, secretary. Thank you.
The issue of human resources. In terms of the legislation, we are not giving administrative support to the minister, but if a matter that the minister can refer to the secretary, we can advise. So if the minister comes and say on issues, for instance, saying that the police HR matters, he wants an advice around that, we can give that. If it comes to advice in terms of human resources issues in his own office, we will give that advice to. So it's included in any other matter that the minister refers to the secretary. And the question of Honorable Mackay, the minister loses, you still pay.
Not even when the minister loses. I was saying, even if you advise, or no, don't go this route, The minister have got the prerogative to go ahead and make you pay.
Yes, Honorable Mike. Because the issues are legal. That's why you'll find you have got two arguments for and against. I think, for example, in this case that we are talking about, I think both sides, they thought that we are using a legislation that was approved by Parliament, which had the stamp of the state law advisers, which says this is constitutional, and there was no constitutional challenge to the legislation. So the case is 50-50. That's why the issue of payment has to happen. It's what we learn out of that process going forward that I think will build us and make sure that those things don't happen.
Chairperson, on a lighter note, these two institutions are in court against each other, and the money, all the money for the defense comes from the civilian secretariat. They borrow iPad money, and then from the next time is the minister, and the two of them are in. So they are owed money from two people who are in court. On a lighter note,
the other responses.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The staff turnover. I don't have that number with me offhand. I don't want to
provide it in writing.
We can provide that that number in writing. The same as in terms of our turnaround plan, the progress in terms of how much has been presented. The internal auditor prepared a report that when we look into it before coming here, it was. There were still gaps on the report, so I didn't want to bring that report in. It's the report that gives you all those yellow and green faces, which we can also submit in terms of how far we have done in terms of that report. Regarding the anti-crime campaign, it was done in partnership with those issues of the cars that were going to the border stolen around KwaZulu-Natal. We worked with the provincial department regarding that that matter. It was not a national one. And also now the campaign is also leading to issues of strengthening the security in the borders. The issue of the delay regarding the filling of the posts, I don't know if you understand the question well, Honorable Mbele. The posts that we couldn't fill were only approved in October. So from October until the end of the financial year. But we have fast-tracked that and all those positions. We are only now left with 8% vacancy rate, which is within the acceptable target of the public service and administration. So it was late approval of those positions which made us not to fill them. But I can indicate that we have done quite well, because our plan was that it's only at the fourth quarter of this financial year that we'll be able to reach that the 10% limit that is allowable. The issue of the compliance officer, I think it's a very important issue that the Honorable Chair you are raising. It's something that I think it's saying we will need to have that capacity that does that. But over and above that, it could be a capacity that in our strategic planning unit, we could put that capacity in that would actually be following this thing or either putting in the legal, but it's an issue that we have to consider to make sure that we are complying. It could be best placed within the legislation because we are moving away from that unit being legislation because they only consider themselves as only doing legislation, but legal advice was underplayed in terms of what they do. It's an area that we will need to look into and make sure that there's capacity to deal with that.
Yes. Secretary, where's the delays with the DVA? I mean, for instance, Wednesday, we must deal with the DVAs from an oversight point of view. The tabling is not done. Is there a problem with having staff with the necessary skills to compile the reports? Is it a methodology issue? What is the issue?
The reports were done, completed. We've got a report ready. But for tabling, it needs minister to approve. And with the changes, we found that that report that we submitted to the former minister was not approved at the time when he was going. And then we also prepared this report. The report is final. It just needs approval by the minister to table. And when I leave here, I will be going to the chief of staff just to make sure that we finalize this process. The reports are ready.
Maybe just a follow up on the one response that worries me, because you said that during the last audit there was letters issued by the CFO to certain staff, but that raises the question: is there quarterly performance reviews of staff members? Because if you must wait for a year and for the AG to pick up that there's not performance or standard performance, I mean, that is the issue. I just want to get an indication for the financial years 15, 16, and 16, 17. Did all staff got a performance evaluation? Was that done? I just want to get assurances on that.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As I indicated, our performance assessment, we do them 6 monthly. And end of the financial year. And I think that's where the problem is. And also when it comes to finance, there are certain things that you must do monthly. If you don't do them monthly, it means that you leave everything until the end of the financial year, and that's where you get a lot of mistakes and delay in terms of the AG. It's twice a year that we do the midterm review in October, and at the end of the year in April.
So you're giving the assurance to the committee that all those performance evaluations were done of all staff?
There are some staff members that didn't do the performance appraisals who we have identified, and we are taking this steps against them.
Members, another bite the cherry, Honourable Bele. CFO, before Honourable Bele comes in, you've got a response. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. I think I've got a few questions that also were referred to me. Maybe the first one is the one regarding the staff complement out of the 17 posts that were vacated. How many were financed? I could clearly say that of the 17, six were finance, and out of those six, I would say that maybe five, as we speak today, they have since been appointed in the new financial that is during June. There were five, but one of them unfortunately then had to was on maternity leave. So we have four warm bodies out of the five that have been appointed, and one post is still not yet filled. I think to be filled during the month of June. The issue about maybe just to add on the issue disciplinary action taken against the finance, you can see that finance to a certain extent was somehow undercapacitated. But we are saying that during this financial year, which is the one that has started in which started in April. This is the first quarter of the new financial year, where we had to prepare the financial statement as much as we were undercapacitated. But we also observed that there were staff that were not pulling their weight. Within the first two months of the financial year, that we've already identified. And then that is when then the letters were issued to those. Now that the financial year is beginning, the people were informed that they're not pulling their weight. Therefore, we need to see them pulling their weight. That is happening now at the beginning of the financial year. In terms of the irrecoverable expenditure, yes, the secretary has said already a lot about this, but maybe something just to clarify, because the question is whether was this part of the IPT amount or what. Yes, in the total amount of these legal fees, they were about 15 million, of which 7.9 related to cases that relate to the IPT members. For whatever reason, SAPS decided not to pay. We thought maybe SAPS were going to pay all of the amount, but they said anything that relates to the IPAD, as much as the minister who took those people there, then they said anything relating to IPAD, they were not going to pay. So this 7.9 is the one that relates to the IPAD members. The one that relates to the SAPS members, SAPS did pay for those ones. Number four, in terms of to what extent have we managed to implement the audit action plan that we've developed? Maybe I will just maybe like to remind the House to say that you will note that in our financials, the accumulative irregular expenditure as at the end of 15-16, we are standing at about 22 million. So the new irregular expenditure that came into the year that has just finished, maybe which is an indication of whether we are implementing or not implementing, it amounts to about just more than 30,000. So compared to the 22 million that you've reported, but in the last financial year, we can say that there's a new irregular expenditure of about 30,000, not 30 million, 30,000 new irregular expenditure. So that on its own shows some improvement in terms of implementation of the audit action plan. Maybe again, the other issue, you will also maybe recall that two of the main things that qualified us as a department, it was issues relating to accruals and issues relating to accounts receivable. The issue of the accruals, I can clearly say that that matter has been totally resolved. The secretary has indicated that the area where we are now at the standing block is this claims receivable, which actually talks, because when we prepared our financial last year, we had this intention of wanting to recover this money from either IPAD or SAPS, whoever was supposed to pay at the legal fees amount. Therefore, now we are having an accounting principle problem in terms of the receivables. Because with AG, we do agree that this is some kind of a debt that somebody owes us. But AG is of a view that we have directed the debt to a wrong person, and therefore we need to readjust our receivable for the previous financial year. That is where we are currently standing. But that matter, we've actually called in Treasury to come and resolve that matter. So that is mainly in terms of implementation of the action plan. So that is the only area that we are currently working on. And the issue about the appointment, I think the secretary has clearly answered that one to say. Here it was, as much as we budgeted for the post, we are hoping that the post were going to be approved much earlier. Therefore, when we budget in the previous financial year, we budgeted for them from the beginning of the financial year, but the post were only then approved in October, and the filling of this post only started happening in February this year when we had budgeted them for the whole financial year. So that is why then this high underspending in the compensation of employees. Thank you very much.
Honourable Mbele, Honourable Mabija.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you for the clarity on what happened with compensation. So I understand that side of the coin. I just wanted to check if there were any contributing factors on the other side of the coin in terms of employee departures. Was there also a factor around resignations, transfers, and especially in the case of transfers, because I remember a presentation late last year about an individual who was transferred from the secretariat to the ministry, if I'm not mistaken. Or the other way around. No, it was CSP to the ministry. So we also affected by by any other subsequent transfers from the secretariats to either other sub-programs or to the SAPs and other environments. If you have those details, please.
Mabija?
Thank you, Chairperson. With non-compliant officials, when you take disciplinary actions, what type of disciplinary measures do you implement on those?
Right, other members, this is the final round. I'm going to close the book. That's that. I just want to maybe a final question from my side. I think maybe going forward, we had in the past, in terms of financial expenditure, there was like the xenophobic attacks, other matters that you had to deal with. Say, for instance, there's one or two matters that might come up in the next few months or towards next year. Is the department geared to deal with that in terms of the PFMA, in terms of procurement, and in terms of processing? Or would it again lead to maybe problems? I just want to get assurance that there is necessary measures in place to deal with that going forward. That's all the questions. Final responses, Secretary.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members. The issue of the impact on under expenditure, the person who was transferred to the ministry still was in our books. Because in terms of the Public Service Act, the minister can say, I need support in this area, and then you can avail that person for that period. So that person was still under our books. There were resignations that happened in the period. For instance, we had the director policy who resigned and joined SAPS. We had the there were a number of other resignations that we have. That's why that issue of the turnover, which we said we will give you the report and give you the details in terms of the people that left. And in terms of that secondment to the minister, there was, if you recall, there was Mr. Muremi who was playing 50% of his time he was working in the department, coming from the ministry to assist in that. And at the end, that person who was in the ministry ended up being appointed in SAPS. That's why we feel that vacancy now, this end of the fourth quarter. The issues of discipline, it's every case, it's looked into it on its merits, and the public service disciplinary policy and procedure, it will indicate in terms of the levels of the misconduct and what kind of penalty you have to put there. So it's dependent on that. Some cases you can give a written warning. In some cases you can suspend. We have a case recently which was sexual harassment, and the person was suspended without pay. So it differs. The unplanned, unforeseen issues that may come, we there won't be such a thing that we will say we have spent like this, we didn't follow procedures because of the agency of the matter. Everything will be done properly, and we even now with the stakeholder engagement have got a process map which we develop jointly with SAPS. So when the minister make a request, then we say these are the triggers that you need to put in, so that issues of procurement upfront, that project plan will include those. So there won't be anything like what happened in the past, because the reason why we might not get unqualified audit is we are still dealing with the historical issues. That once the historical issues are dealt with, we won't be talking about qualified audit anymore.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for your participation in this hearing, and thank you to the Secretary of Police. We take note of the progress. Of course, we will look to the final annual report and the AG's report, but of course, we were looking forward to Wednesday when we discuss the DVA report, and of course, when we will discuss the tabled DVA report. Thank you very much. This meeting is closed. Thank you.